And incidentally, because we have no way of knowing how many sessions each one of you has attended, but there are about 66 books. And our intention is that by the end of this, we'll depend on your honesty, alright? But by the end of the 66 books, we'll issue you a certificate of completion if you stayed through the 2 years. What happened if you miss one or two sessions? How do we know who has completed? We'll depend on your honesty. When you're completed, we take a roll call of all the names, and then we issue it to you. So this is like a Bible study course. And those of you who miss one or two sessions, you can get the tape and listen to them. As long as you listen to them through tape, etc., then we will also issue a certificate of completion for sitting through this whole course. And no, it's not been easy to go through the Bible and portions, but we have got through among the most difficult sections. If you have studied the Bible right through Esther, you have already made it quite a long way. The rest of the way is quite easy. Most people got bogged down at Leviticus and with all the names, etc. And the book of Esther has 10 chapters, and it is one of the most, possibly the strangest book in the Old Testament. Martin Luther, the one who started the Reformation movement, wished that this book was not in the Bible. One reason that he wished it was because there was no mention of the name of God specifically in this book. But it was more or less implied in some of the Hebrew writings. However, this book is full of types. And we will see the type of the church in Esther, and a type of the Lord Jesus in Ahasuerus, and a type of the Holy Spirit in Mordecai, and a type of the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist in Haman. Specifically, this book has a type prophecy about the times of tribulations that the Jews will go through, where Esther would also represent the remnant Jews. However, because we are in the church age, we will focus primarily on Esther as representing the bride of Jesus. We realize, of course, that no type is perfect. And when we teach typology, we need to understand where the weaknesses of type is. For example, Abraham may be a type of the father and Isaac the son, but we realize that not everything in Abraham's life can be used as a type. And especially when Abraham told lies, etc., regarding his, told a lie regarding his wife, that it was his she was his sister. And no type is perfect. But yet, there are elements of a type that we can take and see the Holy Spirit's hidden truths that are there. In the book of Esther, we divide it into two major portions. The whole story is about a crisis that occurred among the Jews. From chapter 1 to chapter 5, we see the beginning of the crisis and how we see the crisis. And it reaches its highest point in chapter 5 with the making of the gallows by Haman. Then from chapter 6 to chapter 10, we see the deliverance. It begins in chapter 6. And then there's progression until there's complete deliverance of God's people in the book of Esther. Now let's look at the background in the book of Esther here in chapter 1. And consider who this king Ahasuerus is, sometimes called Artaxerxes in the book of Josephus. And he is, of course, we understand to be the Artaxerxes of the one who was before the Artaxerxes in Nehemiah and Ezra's time. And he is also known as Xerxes, King Xerxes in the historical records. And how they managed to link it together was due to the work of one German scholar and young scholar and archaeologist who was transcribing some writings of the Middle Persian period. And he came across the name Xerxes in another form and a Hebrew form. And when it's spelled out in another form, it also starts with an A, and it sounds close to Ahasuerus, which in the end was translated into Hebrew as Ahasuerus. So he managed to link it to Xerxes. Now, why is it important to link to the historical king? If any of you have studied archaeology and the period of the Medo-Persian Empire, King Xerxes was one of the most bad-tempered kings. He had a very short fuse. 1 mm. He gets angry very fast, and he does one of the most ridiculous things. Between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Esther, King Xerxes led an army of about 5 million people and got defeated. And there were times in history that records King Xerxes and how he was so angry when they were building a bridge, and a storm came and destroyed the bridge, and the seas came and overwhelmed the bridge, that he commanded the soldiers to weep the sea. So this was a king whom we consider, and some of his background. He is a very, very volatile. He can be very compassionate at one point, and yet very angry and demanding on the other side. He certainly is a very colorful character. But his main primary color is red. Ang pao color. Because he would turn red and with rage many, many times. And here, in the book of Esther, records the beginning of the story in chapter 1. You can see how this king goes to extreme. In chapter 1 of Esther, it tells us the background in verse 3, that in the third year of his reign, he make a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. Then when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. He had a feast that lasted 180 days, which is about 6 months. That was a very long feast, longer than some of our 20-course Chinese dinner. That one lasts only a few hours. This king had a feast that lasted 6 months. They were eating and eating and making merry. He was an extreme king. And after the end of the 6 months of feasting, where he invited all the province leaders there, when he ended, he had another smaller one which lasted 7 days. After you have 6 months of feasting, 7 is very short. So, during the 7 days of feasting, he invited all the local people of Shushan, the citadel of his capital. And it was during that second smaller feast, when he was a bit drunk and his heart was merry with wine, as the Bible tells us here, in chapter 1, verse 10, on the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Habona, Bikta, Abakta, Zita, and Kakas, who were eunuchs. Here are some Bible names for your little children. And he commanded so many fellows just to bring one queen. So here is this big escort of eunuchs who went to escort Queen Vashti. At that time, that was the name. And she was wearing her royal crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command. And in verse 12, straight away, in this story, you will see how many times his little millimeter fuse blew. Verse 12, straight away, he get the fuse blowing again. And when the queen refused to come, the king, whose heart was very merry, the king was furious. And his anger burned within him. This was a very, very bad-tempered king. He can be very kind, but he can be very furious. And then he consulted all his wise men, what shall he do? And in the end, they decided to put away Queen Vashti. And so the king was without a queen. Queen Vashti represents the Israelites who had the covenant of God and who were already enthroned by God from Abraham's time to Moses' time, but who were rejected, and then the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, came into covenant with God. So there is a representation. Of course, for King Ahasuerus, you must minus his bad temper and minus all his wrong things. Then only he represents Jesus, right? But even the fury and the anger which you could take positively represents the wrath of God to a small, tiny extent. As I, please don't take this to the extreme, because no type is perfect, right? You will find you will be able to find problems with every type. But if we do, all of the Bible cannot be used. As we realize, Jesus also teach in parables, and he mentioned about seed representing the word of God and the ground representing our heart. So typology is very common, is a language of the spirit world. Now let's look over to the book of Romans and bring some prophetic element to see the replacing of Queen Vashti with Esther in a prophetic way. In the book of Romans, in a short interlude where it talks about Israel's rejection in chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 17, where he compares the Gentiles as the wild olive and the Jews as the original olive tree and olive branch. So there is a two covenant, the old covenant and a new covenant. The old was removed, replaced by the new. Queen Vashti was removed and she was replaced by Queen Esther. In verse 16 onwards, for if the first fruit is holy, the lamb is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, now the breaking off represented Queen Vashti being broken off, and you, the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, was grafted in, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So, in that way, Paul in Romans represents the olive trees as a covenant relationships that we have with God. The wild olive is us Gentiles. The original olive was the Jews. And Paul, in writing to the Gentiles, was talking about how the Jews were broken off, that the Gentile, the wild olive branch, will be joined unto the Lord Jesus Christ in the new covenant that God made with the Gentiles. Now that picture is very clear, is shown to us here in the book of Esther chapter 1. As Queen Vashti, who represents the original queen, beautiful queen, but who did not obey a command. And just like the Israelites did not obey the word that Jesus came to bring, the Israelites rejected the word of God, per se. Jesus was the living word, came to manifest to the Israelites. In fact, he came purposely to fulfill the covenant first to the Jews, then only to the Gentiles. And when he went to the Jews, he was rejected. John chapter 1 tells us, he came to his own, that is his own people, the Jews, and his own knew him not. They rejected him. In the end, they were the ones who sent him to be crucified. So they did not obey the word of God. Jesus was the word of God. And so Queen Vashti did not obey the command of the king, and she was removed. There was a vacancy, not of women for the king, but a vacancy of the official position of queen beside the king. As you can see from chapter 2, he was quite a funny king. I don't know what other word to use.
In chapter 2, when there was a vacancy, the king sent out throughout all the land. And in verse 2, the servant said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king."